Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 30th of June 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul concluded our series looking at spiritual gifts and he looked at the gift of faith. The reading is Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21. Let's go and hear the reading and then Paul will start the sermon.
Today's reading is from Matthew 17, verses 14 to 21. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Friends, I guess the question of the morning is, who feels they've got faith as big as a mustard seed? Over the last couple of months, we've been looking as a church at what spiritual gifts are and what they are not. It's testimony, isn't it, to how our Lord blesses the church, not just this church, but his church, with spiritual gifts, that we could carry on studying those gifts for months, even years, and not kind of understand fully the depth of the gifts the Lord gives us. They're profound, dynamic, amazing, deep gifts. But today we're going to conclude looking at those spiritual gifts as a church. We're going to be looking at the gift of faith. Now the spiritual gifts are defined in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And as we've said so often, in the middle of those two great chapters is Paul's, his essay, we could call it, on love. I'd wish I'd written that essay at college, just to, you know. And those gifts that we find in those two chapters, we can divide into three groups. Now, I know you've heard me say it before, so here's a bit of a recap. We can divide them into a group we might call the power to know, that is to reveal or to inform. Well, in those scriptures, we have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, all of which could be called the spiritual gifts of knowing. We have gifts that are about the power to act, healings, miracles, and I would say faith is an action gift. Or there are a group we would call the power to speak, the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy. And in amidst all of those, in 1 Corinthians 12:19, Paul says this. When he's talking about God-giving gifts, he says, to another faith by the same Spirit. So what is the gift of faith? Well, probably the easiest thing to recognise is what it is not. It's different from other times we see the word faith in Scripture. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourself, it's the gift of God." So this type of gift of faith is not that saving faith, it's different. It's also different from the gift of faith that God gives to every one of us. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So that's what this gift of faith is not. Everyone here has faith. And I want to say to you quite bluntly, it's the devil that tells you it's smaller than the mustard seed. That stuns you. But he will hold you back and therefore hold the church back if he can. And one ploy he has is to remind you constantly how weak you are. And under God, I want to say, you're not weak at all. You are strong in the Lord. So everyone has this faith, but not necessarily the gift of faith. So what is the gift of faith? Well, it's a supernatural faith, if we read that passage, those passages from Paul, imparted by the Holy Spirit, that enables the Christian to believe God for the extraordinary and miraculous in a specific time or circumstance. Indeed, this supernatural faith is not passive faith at all. This gift requires some action on our behalf. It's wonderful when this faith, this gift, is shared, but it's useless unless it's accompanied by an action. Have you ever known that? I'll tell you what I mean in my own life. I was once going through a time when I had stupidly, and I confess this to Lorraine, decided out of sheer fit of pique to personally dispose of the piano at home by myself. I managed to hire the van. I lifted this upright piano with an iron frame into the van by myself. That was fine. I drove it to the dump. That was fine. When I got to the dump, and I joke not, I said to the chap, where do you want it put? Now, where do you think he said?
Take it back.
In one of those skips. Out of a fit of pique, I manhandled this piano into the skip. And guess what I managed to do? You're right, I hurt my shoulder, yeah. I went to the chiropractor, I tried all sorts of things. It was about 3 weeks later, someone came up to me and said, a couple of weeks ago, Paul, the Lord told me to come and pray for you, but I was a bit unsure. I so wish they'd exercised faith and come and prayed for me. My shoulder's better, thank you for the asking, whoever that was. But do you see what I mean? This is a supernatural gift of faith. And it doesn't have to be around the big. It can be on the ordinary. But it's extraordinary to us. If someone had come and prayed for my shoulder at that point in time, think of the effect that would have had on them and on me. The reality is, this is a gift that's shared. And unless it's shared with an action, it is kind of useless. And if it's shared and it isn't accompanied by faith, then we surely need to ask, is this faith or selfish indulgence? Why? Because in that reading from Matthew's Gospel, he reminds us that what limits the disciples, what limits you and me, is a lack of faith. It limits us, doesn't it, as a people. But faith itself brings Christ's miraculous response. It really does. Unbelief limits us. It does not limit God. It's unbelief that stops us. But God is still God. In Matthew 13:58, Jesus says this, and it says, "And he," and it means Jesus, "did not perform any miracles there because of their lack of faith." In the story we read, that was read, thank you Sheila for reading, we read a one-time incident in the life of Jesus which teaches us the importance of faith. If you went, there's a lovely picture of a chap on a mountaintop there, because just before the reading we had, Jesus was on a mountaintop with his disciples. The story we call the Transfiguration. We might call it an anointing and a blessing as well. And Jesus and those disciples were on the mountaintop. And those present had the most amazing experience, at which Scripture reminds us Jesus himself was transfigured before their eyes. And they come down from the mountaintop, and there's a crowd. someone's come up to the other disciples and asked them to heal their epileptic son, and they're unable to do so. And Jesus faces a problem. Not so much over the illness of the boy. Did you notice Jesus sort of just heals him? But rather, the ineffectiveness of his disciples. Imagine the scene. Red-faced disciples, distraught father, epileptic son. Crowd baying. Chaos reigns. So friends, this morning I want to encourage the gift of faith in you. And I want you to do something amazing for me. Would that be all right? Encourage the gift of faith in me. Did you know you can all do that? And that makes being a pastor a rather blessed position. Because whilst I'll encourage the gift of faith in you, I'll have many more of you encouraging the gift of faith in me. I wonder what would happen if we took that literally. Well, I encourage you to do so. We need to encourage that gift in each other, because if we're being honest with ourselves, that picture, that story of red-faced disciples, distraught father, is one we often find ourselves in, don't we? I think we do. The man, like so many of today, longed to get behind the representatives of Jesus, if we can use that phrase, with whom he's kind of disappointed, to the master himself. Or to put it another way, the disciples are like many Christians today, powerless, or more accurately, believe themselves to be powerless. If, friends, we stood up now, went out on the streets of Minehead with the faith of a mustard seed, or as much faith as we could muster, and spread abroad the good news of Jesus Christ, we would be the most dangerous group of people in Minehead today against the enemy. And not only would we be, we are. And in reality, friends, we're not powerless. In reality, all the disciples had to do when they were asked by the man to heal the boy is remember the Lord on the top of the mountain, to trust him, have faith in him. We might say, all they had to do was point the way to Jesus. Or, I'd like this on a mug. Keep calm and have faith in Jesus. We know that Jesus loves the people of Minehead. Amen? I'm going to ask you to say amen a lot here, friends. Is that okay? I'm going to pre-warn you. Yet sometimes we can feel powerless to reach them with the good news of Jesus. Powerless because that we believe that no one wants to hear. Powerless because we believe the lies of the enemy put forward by the atheists within our society, that no one wants to know about faith and about Jesus. Friends, you've heard it here first. The atheists have got it wrong. Amen. The reality is that it's nonsense that people don't want to know about Jesus. Amen? Here come the amens, friend, all right? Jesus just doesn't want us to be fake. They want to know about Jesus, but they don't want us to be fake. Amen? They do want to hear what we have to say. Amen? They just don't want us to talk down to them. Amen? The atheists are fooling no one when they say God does not exist except themselves and those for whom the uncomfortable truth is that God will disturb their agenda. Amen? Well, you've said amen a lot, haven't you? And the majority of those in our community want to engage with the Jesus of Scripture. They genuinely do. Or indeed they would engage with him, but the challenge is they don't know who he is. The real tragedy is you do. So why aren't you telling them? And if we have faith in who he is and what he has done, then we will be able to tell our community. If you want to get out there and you want to evangelize on the streets, can I encourage you to find out who you are in Christ first? Because once you know who you are and you know who he is, evangelism becomes easy. Awesome, isn't it? But it does mean you've got to do something. You've got to take a little bit of courage, a little bit of faith, pray that the Lord will give you more, and simply tell all who Jesus is and what he has done. And we can and we must speak out against the negativity that exists around our Christian faith. And the way to do it is exhibit faith. Because that spiritual gift of faith calls me to trust in God even when circumstances seem hopeless. Trust in what he says, what he asks me to do. Because, friends, spiritual faith is best summed up in Hebrews 11:1. And it says this: now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I thank God for Sam this morning. You get the response? His response was bang. Oh, for a church full of Sams. In reality, friends, that's faith. That's a great example of faith. So what we've got in our picture is the biblical scholars tell us that the father was probably a Gentile, just to let you know. So what we have is presumably a Gentile father. And what does he need? Faith. What we have is a group of Jewish disciples. What do we need? Faith. That's the one thing Jesus must have if he is to use his mighty power among us. Faith. And the disciples tried his patience surely and sorely, because they're weak in the faith. What about us? Are we weak in faith? I invite you, friends, to be honest, because honest is the best policy. Honest with ourselves and honest with God. Now, churches can be uncomfortable places, can they not, where we come face to face with the reality of who we are and how we are. But let's be honest. In the main, we can come to church and generally get away without having to tune into anything. Maybe we listen to a prayer or a worship song. But when the minister gets up to deliver the word, now's the time to sleep or to tune out. Maybe that's true. We don't have to listen. We don't have to engage. And incidentally, we've learnt the art well. So we can stay quiet and risk nothing when there's a call to pray or a call to come for prayer, because we've got the pre-rehearsed answers in our mind. And if this was me, actually, I used to do this. When someone asked me to pray in church, I would say this: it's not me. I pray other ways. I wonder if that's you. But we can gain comfort in the settled, even established nature of church. We can have the odd victory, but things pretty much stay as they are and as they always have been, and we maintain that sort of church forever. If we're being honest, we admit that Christianity becomes a sort of strange background noise to our lives, easily tuned out when we want to do so. And that may hit hard, but it is reality. Yet, we need to learn the lesson of the scripture of the morning, that we can achieve, truly achieve, nothing without being 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ, acknowledging our faith and sincere dependence upon him. Today, his call on this church is to come back again to the reality of how much we owe him, to depend on him fully once again, to look to him, asking of him in faith what he requires of us. That's the call of the morning. And the disciples failed to heal the boy, but in hindsight, it would only have been possible for the disciples to have overcome the difficulties of healing the boy if they trusted Jesus and remembered to do so. And they didn't either. Now, I know that this gift of spiritual faith has been highly abused, and both you and I have heard story after story of men and women who've turned out to be fakes. But I also declare that the Lord wants to gift this church with men and women who are filled with faith. And how do I know that to be true? Because some of you have already taught me about faith. In reality, the church needs to be filled with people who have that gift of faith. So why does the Spirit distribute that gift to the church? To encourage and build us up. To have confidence in our Lord. Those with the gift of faith trust that God is sovereign and he is good. They take him at his word, put their full weight on his of their lives in his hands. They expect God to move and aren't surprised when he answers prayers or performs miracles. And did you see something else about that story, about the gift of faith? Now, I have a personal bugbear, and I have to confess it, okay? It is this. I have heard over my ministry so many people say something like this. If only, Paul, you had enough faith. Let me ask you the question. What is enough faith? As I understand Scripture, this Scripture, it reminds us that how much faith you have doesn't matter at all. Mark said that in a different way. After all, if a mustard seed amount of faith can move a mountain, how much do you think is needed to heal someone? Or to release them from the captives? Or to do anything in the Lord's name? Is there a heavenly scale which tells us we can only do some things if we have enough faith? Because unless I read Scripture wrong, my bugbear is that we often make the amount of faith we have the determining factor. And that's not the determining factor at all. What's true is that we have a Lord that can do everything. And all I need to do is take every bit of faith I have and place it in his hands. And he will do, through you and through me, amazing things. What really counts is the fact that we have faith, not the amount of faith that we have. And that may sound weird, but try it out. Try me out. See what happens. What do I mean? Well, there have been a few occasions in my ministry when I've been asked to pray in faith for the deliverance of an individual from spiritual possession. And I confess to my brothers and sisters, on these occasions, I've wondered, do I have faith enough that's a mustard seed? And somehow, out of my own pitiful faith, and with prayers that don't seem to even make sense or be wise or sort of discerning, deliverance has happened. So how is that possible? It's possible because it's not about me and who I am, but about him and who he is. Following these times, I've been a sense, I've gone home, sat back and thought, hold on, look at what God just did. It's not been about my lack of faith, my mustard seed, however big we might sort of call it is. But in a sense, God used just the little bit that I have and moved a metaphorical mountain. And he'll do that with you. And I wasn't going to share this with you, but I am going to now. This church has been praying, several of you have been praying in faith about something. And you just need to hear that God answers your faith. So here goes. Dave, you want to come and join me, my friend? I said you could stay there, but I lied. Now, this church knows, and I know we just need to give a little bit of background here for our visitors, that young Ashley, your son, several years ago now had a tragic accident, and that left young Ashley with some brain damage, and at the time he was told he wouldn't be able to walk, he wouldn't be able to function properly, lots of things he wouldn't be able to do, correct?
Correct.
But bless you, because of the presence of this church and the actions of this man, we now see Ashley walking around. But that's not the news of this week, is it?
Not at all.
So the church has been praying this last few months, several folk in the church, for something specific, which hasn't happened since the day of his accident, correct?
Correct.
So what happened this week? You need to come to the mic so they can hear and we can put it on the tape if that's okay.
A couple of Sundays ago, Roy witnessed Ashley actually say a word. And it kind of shocked me, and I think it shocked Roy as well, and Ashley found it funny himself. I prayed that Ashley would talk again, and also one of the ladies that had a vision that Ashley would talk again. I prayed for that to happen. Last Sunday, it was a very odd Sunday, I went to see a lady in Bridgewater, and I picked her and her daughter up. Ashley sat in the car and said hello. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And I spoke to the rehab team, and the rehab team said, you're lucky to have a family in that church who pray and believe in Ashley. Because they're baffled. They are totally baffled how far we've got him. They sat me down years ago and said, Ashley won't be able to see again properly. He won't be able to speak again. He'll never use his hands again, and he won't walk again. And I said, trust me, I don't believe that. And I've carried on amongst all the odds. And here Ashley is. He does walk again. He can use his hands again. He can use a spoon to eat. And his eyesight is absolutely perfect. And none of the medical team can understand how. And I just said, praise God that he saved his life.
Bless you, friend. So there you go. Thank you, Nathan. How much faith does this church have? Faith enough to pray. Is that not true? Faith enough to bring Ashley before God and then to see God move the mountain to perform the miracle. You know, the cool news is we don't perform the miracle. How's that sound? He does it all. He does the hard work. He's done that amazing stuff in Ashley's life. It disturbs me, however, Dave, just to let you know, that Ashley chose his own shirt, which is another kind of first for him, and he chose a pink one. But apart from that, no, he actually really suits him, doesn't he? He's done really well. But praise God, that the time, can you see, friends, or is it just me, that God is answering prayers of faith in this church? And if that's true, why on earth are we worried about the future? Why don't we just bring all of our faith to the Lord and say, there you go, do with it what you want. That seems to me, honestly, like being a vision for the future. Rather than man-made constructs, let's go God's way. And I encourage you to read scriptures, find out for yourself whether I'm right or wrong. Hebrews chapter 11 is an amazing chapter about faith. It's too long to quote, but it teaches us about the power of faith, an uncommon power of faith. Not because it's not available to us, but because it's so rare that it's used. I want to, Lord, make this a church where the gift of faith and your spiritual gifts are poured out on the community. An uncommon faith, because that's the sort of faith that we'll be exhibiting. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. I want to live in a church, not just where we happily get along, but where the impossible happens, don't you? I want to be in a church that believes an unbelievable God will do stuff. And I want to be in church where my faith, raised up by my Lord, makes me see the invisible. And if that's your church too, shall we have a bit of go at going that way? What do you reckon? All it needs is that we surrender ourselves to our Lord. Place all our faith on God rather than on men. It's unresolved, unwavering, unquestioning. It's faith that opens us up to the miraculous works of healing. When I was at college, we had a series of lectures given to us by renowned atheists. And you were able to ask any question you wanted at the end of this lecture. And every question that was asked, they batted back. And I personally sat there thinking, what question do I bring? So this is my question, see if you agree with it. Do you know, I said to this chap, Jesus loves you? And the atheist said, there is no such person as Jesus. To which I prayed, brother, that doesn't stop him loving you, I'll pray for you. He went out the door, but I still pray for him. One day the Lord will have him for his own. And I have a real sense of faith in my heart that that will be true. I genuinely, absolutely believe, friends, that Minehead Baptist Church is on the precipice of something amazing in the Lord. That he wants to do amazing stuff among us that he's never done before. Something unique and new. He wants to break through in this place and be glorified here. He really does. So I'm going to ask you in a few words to join me by saying, can we all do this? Can we stop worrying, accept he really will, and have faith? And if you want to come on the journey, see you Thursday. Amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And if you're coming to Minehead over the summer and want to know what's going on here at NBC, then you can go to minehead-baptist.com/summer. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.